Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Welcome. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studios. I mentioned at one point nicknamed by Jack Ham himself when he was sitting here as the Chateau. We're here at the Chateau, the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we have the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. There's been no shortage of news this week with Mike Motti missing Saturday's game with Wisconsin. Tim Frazier out for the year with a ruptured Achilles. Penn State getting ready to play Bucknell Friday. Penn State and Wisconsin getting ready to play football on Saturday. Maryland joining the Big Ten on Monday. Rutgers joining the Big Ten yesterday. Oh, there has been no shortage of news. And Notre Dame plays the $15 million game on Saturday night. You're saying, $15 million game? What are you talking about? They're planning to go to the national championship. Exactly. Exactly. And guess what? Under the rules, if Notre Dame plays for the national championship, they get the full $19 million. They lose that game to USC, they'll still be in the BCS, but they'll play as the number two Big East team. They'll get $4 million. So Jack Swarbrick, who is the athletic director at Notre Dame, has been quietly seen at the Grotto every day lighting candles. But we'll talk about that. USC has to go with their backup quarterback in this game. That is something to talk about. And give Brian Kelly and Notre Dame a lot of credit. Their defense has played great, and they have just enough offense to make this happen. Just enough offense to make this happen. Manti Te'o's had a great year leading that defense. Gets a lot of credit for doing that. And it's Notre Dame back on the national stage after really years of being Notre Dame in reputation, but at the same time, in terms of championship relevance, not in the ballpark for about 10 years. Well, they're there now, and they will play for the bundle. They'll play for the national championship. I mean, let's face it. What they're doing on Saturday night at USC is a national semifinal game. That's what it is. It is a national semifinal game. They win it, they get to play for the title. They lose it, they don't. We'll talk about that much more. But first, Above the Noise with Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. And our tire rewards program gives you your next set of tires free. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. sunburymotors.com. The winning team.
Best of, how does he choose? He just picks any day of the week. Well, we'll be on tomorrow. And one of the guests tomorrow that we're going to have will be Darrell Clark, former Nittany Lion quarterback. What do you think of that, Sarah? Sarah left. She quit. All right. Great to have you on board. Danny's on board with us today as well on this day before Thanksgiving. And we have, I think, a fun show for you today. So much has happened this week with expansion of the Big Ten, and I wanted to get somebody on who had a true national perspective that has seen it all. And later in the show, in the 4 o'clock hour, a guy that has written for USA Today, the New York Times, and the Chicago Tribune, and has literally seen it all in sports. And that would be Malcolm Moran. And we'll get Malcolm on in the 4 o'clock hour. And the next half hour, Nate Mink, Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Tomorrow, comments from Patrick Chambers, Matt McGloin, Bill O'Brien, and Daryl Clark as part of the mix of tomorrow's Thanksgiving show. And then Friday, we all gather as a family at the Jordan Center, which we're looking forward to. So that's what we have. But tomorrow's show, we'll have Daryl Clark, along with comments from Bill O'Brien, Patrick Chambers, and also along the way, some comments from Matt McGloin as well. So we have a lot going on over the next couple days. And then Friday we'll have the show in the BJC with Penn State Bucknell, which we're looking forward to very, very much. It was interesting. I was at the quarterback club today. So I was explaining, like, basically that, you know, this is how tough a team Bucknell is. And I get these looks out there, like, what's he doing? I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, okay. I said, look, I've seen that. I said, I've done almost 900 of these in my career. I think I know what I'm talking about a good basketball team. So we will talk about all that and more coming up in tomorrow's show. So that's all part. But today, we got to talk a lot today about Big Ten expansion, which we're looking forward to. It's not over, kids. It's not over. The goal is to eventually, if you read the tea leaves correctly, the goal is eventually to get this thing to 16. Well, where do you go next? I think a lot of people have a pretty good idea what number 15 is. I think a lot of people have a pretty good idea number 15 is Georgia Tech. That is the target. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do it, but they would certainly be an attractive target in the Atlanta market. Then after that, could it be North Carolina? Maybe. There are a lot of entities out there that are interesting. I've been interested in reading all the articles about this. You know, what do Rutgers and Maryland add, and this, that, and the other thing, and about the money. You heard Dan Patrick's above the noise there. Dan Patrick was talking about, you know, traditions and so forth. Look, in expansion, traditions were flushed a long time ago. Okay, all this stuff about Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler, was the league really better then? No, it wasn't. The conference was not better when the last game of the season between Michigan and Ohio State was the only meaningful football game played that entire year. Since Penn State has entered the conference, 8 different schools have won or shared the Big Ten championship. That's 8 out of the 11. The only 3 that have not are Indiana, Minnesota, trying to think who the third one is.
Would it be Northwestern?
No, it's Michigan State. And Michigan State got a share of it, so that's actually 9 out of the 11. Michigan State was the other one that had it. Michigan State had not won anything in the Big Ten since Penn State got there. But they had a tri-championship, so they shared it with Ohio State and Wisconsin a couple of years ago. So 9 out of the 11 schools in the Big Ten have won or shared the Big Ten championship since Penn State entered and started playing football in 1993. Before then, you have to be kidding me. You know, Illinois won 1 year, but they were put on probation for it. Really? I mean, that's, you know, so he's there talking about the traditions of a November afternoon, and I understand that because, look, no one loves sports history or history in general more than I do. No one, I know things have gone too far today, but don't use mythology as your argument. Was the Big Ten better before the Big Ten tournament? The Big Ten was worse before the Big Ten tournament in basketball. The Big Ten struggled in the NCAAs before the advent of the Big Ten tournament. Since the Big Ten tournament, look how many teams have made it to the Final Four. Ohio State's been there. Okay, Indiana's been to the championship game. Michigan State's been to the Final Four six times. Wisconsin's been there. Purdue's made a deep run. Michigan's made deep runs. The Big Ten was one and done in the NCAA tournament in the years leading up to the Big Ten tournament. That changed everything. It wasn't just a money grab. It was also competition. It gave you the feeling of how to play a one-and-done game, which the Big Ten was, our regular season's relevant. Regular seasons are relevant, and I'm sick and tired of hearing that. You know, I broadcast Penn State basketball. It's my 31st year broadcasting Penn State basketball. I can tell you in no uncertain terms, regular seasons are relevant. What Penn State's done in regular seasons has set them up either to get to postseason play or knock them out of postseason play. If it wasn't relevant, maybe it's not as relevant, for example, as Duke, where they're fighting for a seed, but it's relevant for a lot of other people. The competition for those 37 at-large spots is tremendous now. And when you look at the history of Big Ten football before Penn State entered this conference, again, 9 of the 11, right now it's 9 of 12, and Rutgers is going to play in the, Nebraska, they win this week, will play in the championship game. They won the Big Ten championship. And that was not happening before Penn State entered the conference. Okay? Those days where Michigan and Ohio State were the only decent teams in the conference. Okay? Is not the way to go. Okay? You did not have a better product then. You just didn't. You know, when you have two teams that are really good and eight teams who aren't very good, what does that do? That doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything at all. I mean, you look at how this has played out over the years. I mean, it's not how you want it playing out. Until it got to this point. And you look at the years leading up to 1992, what was the Big Ten doing? I mean, it was Ohio State, Michigan almost every year. Every once in a while, somebody else snuck in there. Let's see. 92, champion, Michigan. 91, champion, Michigan. 90, okay, they had a big tie. Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, Illinois. 89, Michigan. 90, 88, Michigan. 87 was George Perlis, Michigan State. 96, Ohio State, Michigan. Okay, 85 was Iowa. 84, Ohio State. 83, Illinois, they were put on probation for it. 82, Michigan. 81, Ohio State. 80, Michigan. 79, Ohio State. 78, Michigan. 77, Michigan and Ohio State. 76, Michigan. Well, this is just really exciting, isn't it? Doesn't that bring you back all the romantic days? Okay? I mean, it's unbelievable. 68, Ohio State. 69, Michigan, Ohio State. 70, Ohio State. 71, Michigan. 72, Michigan, Ohio State. 73, Michigan, Ohio State. 74, Michigan, Ohio State. 75, Ohio State. 76, Michigan, Ohio State. 77, Michigan, Ohio State. 78, Michigan, Michigan State. Okay? 79, Ohio State. 80, Michigan. Okay? I mean, that's good.
That's good. That's good football. That's competitive. That makes you feel like you're going to the stadium every week, seeing something interesting and spectacular. Nine different schools have won the Big Ten championship in the last 21 years. That didn't happen in the previous 21 years. It just didn't. So, Dan Patrick's point, irrelevant, over-romanticized, mythology, and incorrect.
Calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you on board. Now, I talked about all those Ohio States and Michigans. Okay? So you go back to 1968 Ohio State, 69 Michigan Ohio State, 70 Ohio State, 71 Michigan. 72 Michigan, Ohio State. 73 Michigan, Ohio State. 74 Michigan, Ohio State. 75 Ohio State. 76 Michigan, Ohio State. 77 Michigan, Ohio State. 78 Michigan and Michigan State. Ooh. 79 Ohio State. 80 Michigan. Iowa, Ohio State, 81. Michigan, 82. Illinois, 83, put on probation for it. Ohio State, 84. Iowa in 1985. Big year for Hayden Fry. Michigan, Ohio State, 86. Michigan State, 87 with George Perlis. Michigan, 88. Michigan, 89. Michigan State, Iowa, Illinois. That was the year they had all the ties in 1990. 91, Michigan. 92, Michigan. Okay. Now Penn State enters the conference. Okay. Penn State enters the conference in 93. Ohio State, Wisconsin. 94, Penn State. 95, Northwestern. 96, Northwestern, Ohio State. 97, Michigan. They won the national championship. 98, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. 99, Wisconsin. 2000, Michigan, Northwestern, Purdue. And Purdue went to the Rose Bowl. They won the conference championship. 2001, Illinois. 2002, Iowa and Ohio State. Remember, they were both undefeated that year. They didn't play each other. 2003, Michigan. 4, Iowa, Michigan. 2005, Penn State. 2006, Ohio State. 7, Ohio State. 2008, Penn State. 2009, Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin in 2010, Wisconsin 2011. Gee, listen to all the different names. Oh, all the old days of Bo and Woody. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. It's just, you know, really reason to live. You know? You know, you can romanticize to the point, you play a long season, okay? You can't just say, oh, the great old days when happened to be when one game counted. Now you have games all over the lot that count. It's better. Much, much better than the old days. Now, what Rutgers and Maryland do this, we'll see. But we bring in Nate Mink, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. They join me here in the Sunbury Motors studio. By the way, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Guys, great to have you on board. And, well, let's start with the two of you. What do you think about the expansion with Rutgers and Maryland and what it means to the Big Ten, and also, Nate, what it means to Penn State?
Well, there's a number of directions you can take this conversation, obviously. I mean, the big picture question, I think, after all this is, are they done? But keeping it the focus on Maryland and Rutgers, you know, it's financial reasons, obviously. I mean, for sure, it's the market of the Mid Beltway in Baltimore, the Mid Atlantic, and ultimately dipping into the New York, New Jersey, Newark area market as well. And it doesn't really matter if anyone's watching; it's just that they have a presence there, and that they can take those TV dollars. You know, from an athletic standpoint, I think Maryland and Rutgers bring some good things. You know, right now, both football programs are struggling a little bit. Well, I shouldn't say that for Rutgers. They're actually playing for a Big East championship. But Maryland specifically, struggling a bit in the ACC. But I think ultimately with Kevin Plank, the Under Armour honcho, they'll be able to foot some bill on some stuff and ultimately grow their program. And Rutgers, I think it really goes back to, I think, with Greg Schiano and what he did, building that foundation, setting the stage for Coach Flood, and ultimately they'll keep building up too. Varsity level sports, Maryland field hockey, perennial powerhouse. Maryland lacrosse will be a huge addition. You know, Rutgers field hockey is very good. Both volleyball programs. I mean, I like the move. I mean, it's not the sexy move like Nebraska was a couple years ago. But there's not that many brand names out there that really aren't comfortable, I think, in their own conference right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nate touched on the key points, especially the market. You see Jim Delaney being proactive about where they're trying to locate their brand in New York and in the D.C. area. Obviously, they're not, you know, the flashy names that you might want to pick up. But, you know, Rutgers is playing pretty good football this year, and Maryland's got a lot of other good programs besides their football program that they can build on. And, you know, their hope, obviously, you know, and Maryland's president said that they, you know, they're in it for the money. You know, they're struggling at, you know, financially, and they're here, and he didn't pretend that it was anything other than that. But at the same time, you know, it's going to help them out in other ways, and I imagine Maryland will get better over the years football wise. But I mean I like the move. There's not a lot of teams that you have to pick from that East Coast region that necessarily fit what you're looking for. And I think if especially Rutgers, if they get the Big Ten Network on the YES Network, you know, that really expands the presence that they have in that area.
Yeah, what they would do is that since News Corp bought minority interest in YES, which has flown under the radar, but if you're following this closely, News Corp, which is the parent corporation of Fox News, Wall Street Journal, and the Big Ten Network, they own 51%. By buying minority interest in YES, they will now attempt to couple on the primary tier YES and the Big Ten Network together. For example, you see this all the time in cable. You don't realize it as a consumer, but there will be five networks, for example, Bravo, A&E, you know, Pick to Lifetime, whatever, all put together as a package to be on cable. That's what they're trying to do with YES and BTN. And that would be in New Jersey. That makes it interesting. Now, I think everyone assumes that, and you can't assume anything else that they're not done. 16 appears to be the magic number.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, does the Big Ten go first? Do they get to 16 before someone else goes in to 16, or do the dominoes fall where the SEC or the Big 12 makes a move, or the Pac-12 makes a move? I mean, I don't know. I mean, everyone, I think, is monitoring the landscape pretty closely right now. I think for certain, though, if the Big Ten is gonna make a move, you know, it's funny because this is kind of our second, you know, rodeo with this. We saw this a couple years ago with Nebraska. We were kind of picking and choosing potential targets for expansion, and you know, Joe Paterno obviously wanted some Eastern League teams, and they ultimately settled on Nebraska. Now, I think everyone's looking at this the same way the Big Ten's looking at it, and they're identifying what markets are ripe for the picking. So, you know, you look at the top 40, top 50 media markets in the country, and you see, okay, you have Atlanta, and you have Georgia Tech, and they're a fringe ACC, okay, good football, good basketball, great academics. They kind of fit in what the Big Ten is doing. You maybe look at North Carolina, who's a founding member of the ACC, but if the ACC, as Coach K put it so correctly, is vulnerable right now, you know, academic scandal aside, North Carolina is still a very good academic institution, moves the needle with basketball, has made a rise in football in recent years under Butch Davis and Larry Fedora. They bring in the Raleigh Charlotte market. That's, I think, the way you start pinpointing what are potential outcomes. And even to a certain extent, you know, Virginia Tech, they're 3 hours away from Charlotte. I think that still moves the needle. Kansas, with the Kansas City and potentially dipping into the St. Louis market, I mean, that could be an option. I mean, you really got to look at markets now rather than football pedigree.
Well, you're talking Georgia Tech is Atlanta, okay? North Carolina can bring with you the rich triangle area, Raleigh, Durham, okay, Chapel Hill, along with probably Charlotte as the state. And, you know, that might be enough.
At what point does this just become too much, though, where you destroy everything that college athletics has meant in terms of traditions and basketball? Basketball, what about the NCAA tournament? That could be a second afterthought.
Let me give you something that, because of expansion by the ACC, Maryland is a tradition-rich school in basketball. Their rivalry with Duke is a great rivalry. The rivalry with North Carolina is a really good one.
NC State. But when it came time in expansion, because they went after, I mean, they've added Virginia Tech, Miami, Boston College, now Syracuse, Pitt, and, of course, now Notre Dame, they had to designate two rivals, home and away, and then everybody else one place. Maryland was designated Pitt and Virginia. They didn't get Duke or North Carolina or NC State. They got Pitt, Virginia. That did not light them up as a charter member of the ACC. So already within the conference, they were taking away that rivalry. So, you know, there's three words that for anybody who's ever watched the movie All the President's Men should always remember: follow the money.
I think there's a certain truth to be said what Tripp's going for, though, because you look at expansion is already limited the number of times that Penn State and Michigan play. You know, that they're right, because they're in the other division, so they don't see each other very often, and certainly there's that fear that the more teams that you add that don't necessarily have the history between the conferences that they're joining. You know, Penn State's lost, once to Maryland in the last 37 tries?
Dick Schneider, quarterback, Maryland.
So, you know, do you feel like you don't have quite the...
What year was that? Go ahead, left guard.
I want to say 63. Mm-hmm.
Score?
I don't remember.
Score after the first quarter?
I don't remember.
First play
I
of the
was
game?
5 years old. I don't know. I just know Dick Schneider was the quarterback. And I was there for the tie. The tie was at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. It was 13-13. Dwayne Downing ran an interception back for a touchdown. What? People look at me weird. Keep going.
It's hard to, but you know, you
hard not to. Me. Thanks.
it's hard.
I like when they come.
But you get concerned that you dilute some of the tradition that you have between teams when you add programs that don't necessarily have tradition with each other. But I mean, like you said, Maryland's getting a bad deal in the ACC, so they came here, and you know, enough time goes by and you'll forget about it.
The other part too is that you sometimes develop new traditions. Penn State Wisconsin being the last game of a football season would never have been envisioned 20 years ago. Okay, now it's actually a very intriguing last game of the season.
For how long?
Well, we don't know. If they stay in the same division, then probably it sticks. I mean, they deliberately put it there for a reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last games of the season are deliberately done.
How does this affect, potentially, the college football playoff model?
This is how it could affect it. If you get to four 16-team conferences, you may end up playing every game within your conference. No non-conference games. So that your non-conference games end up being your bowl games, and you treat your conference championship games as quarterfinal games, with the winners going to the semifinals and then the winners of that going to the championship game. Now you actually end up with essentially an 8-team college playoff.
But if there would be no non-conference, that kills small schools' athletic departments. I can just see sports crumbling at any school that's not in one of the four or five major conferences, and that would be devastating for any school like that.
I'm just telling you what the potential is. I didn't say it was an absolute.
Isn't there a way someone can stand up for the smaller schools? Or would it just be a giant Division II? It'd just be a million Lock Havens and Clarions and Bloomsburgs out there in the world.
Well,
not that there's any. Those schools have good athletics. But
by the way, you're seeing already Boise State, San Diego State, and the independent BYU saying,
retracting.
If you're in the other five, that's what they're calling them, the other five.
They put the Big East in there, didn't they, when they made that other five?
Yeah, the Big East is there, is the Mountain West. That's why they look at the Mountain West.
It's equal footing.
It's you don't gain anything by going to the Big East. They went to the Big East because they had an automatic bid. Automatic bid? Go on.
Man, Temple won't be able to compete in that Big East West division. What a shame.
Yeah.
No, but I think your point, you know, there's an NCAA forum on campus here maybe a month ago now, where, you know, a couple of former presidents basically floated out the idea that they thought a realistic option would that there would be another division for the so-called halves of college football, where if you do go into a 64-team format where you have the four 16-team conferences, they're their own separate entity. You know, they have their fun, and then everyone else essentially can have their either their own championship or keep the bowl system intact or however you want to do it, and divvy it up that way so that everyone...
Yeah, the problem has been over the years, and I'll say this with all due respect to, I'm just picking a school out of the air. When they sit down to vote at the NCAA convention, Belmont's vote counts as much as Ohio State's. And that's why back in the 80s, and Joe Paterno was deeply a part of this, along with Chuck Nyhanis, who's been the commissioner recently of the Big 12 Conference, the College Football Association was formed. They wanted to start getting a little bit of autonomy in negotiating television contracts and things like that, and the CFA was formed in the 80s over that. You know, and this is, in some ways, this expansion is a continuation in a small way of all that. So now you wonder who survives. We can tell you right now three that will survive. There is no doubt the Big Ten, Southeastern Conference, and the Pac-12 survive. After that, between the ACC and the Big 12, now you have to start asking questions. Now you have to ask questions. You guys have covered the senior class all year. Ben, you've had to cover things you thought you'd never have to cover in your lifetime, literally, which is, it's not easy what you've done. Very difficult. Your thoughts on the type of people in that upper class that you covered, the kind of people that they happen to be, not just football players, but people.
They always talk about, Bill O'Brien's talked about fit when they talk about recruiting in the future, and that they're looking for a certain type of people. And I think that when they set the model, much like Penn State's had for decades of the sorts of people that they're looking for, I think they'll look back on this senior class as the model. It's hard to find any real faults with the guys that are graduating or the seniors this year, just as people. I mean, you know, everybody, they're well-spoken, they're educated, they're polite. You know, it's hard to find any reason not to, you know, I wouldn't say root for them, but you wish them the best moving forward, and, you know, you hope that everything turns out well for them. And I think, they've been an exceptional bunch, but they're not the only ones. I think you see that with a lot of guys that come through Penn State have that sort of they're a different type of person, and certainly I haven't worked with lots of other athletic programs, but they're a different kind of breed, or at least it seems that way. And this senior class exemplifies that, especially this year.
I think you see this. This is kind of a natural progression as the maturation of a college student going from an 18-year-old freshman to a 22-year-old senior. The more you talk to these guys as they get older, they really, it's hard to put into words, but they become men, specifically with Penn State, that the experiences they've had to gone through in the last year sets them up for life, really, from being, model citizens to be able to, provide a leadership in whatever community they decide to put a stake in and settle down into. That I think distinguishes this group from the collective group from maybe some of them in the years past. But I think, even if you go up and down in recent years, some of the quality guys that are seniors, Chima Coley,
sure,
outstanding guy. Even Damone Jones and Scott Shirley, obviously, what they started with uplifting athletes. I think it's just, and you see, I think you can pick any school in the country, and you get a certain number of kids like that really just mature as they go through school and their college experience.
Nate, Ben, thanks so much, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to each of you. We at the top of the hour, got a heartbreak coming up for that, but happy Thanksgiving to each one of you. Appreciate your time. Can't wait to talk to you next week. Next half hour, Malcolm Moran will come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy, with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Danny doing the Danny Wall shuffle there. Very nice.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, it's really big at weddings and receptions. Incredible. I hope everybody has a safe Thanksgiving. And I hope you've given something to the food bank and help out there. Just be safe this Thanksgiving. We want to have everybody back on board listening to the show on Friday as well. We are going to have a show tomorrow. Darrell Clark will be on the show tomorrow. Some comments from Patrick Chambers on Tim Frazier, Bill O'Brien, Matt McGloin. We have a lot going on tomorrow on the show. And we'll revisit Maryland and Rutgers getting into the Big Ten. And comments from Jim Delaney about all that and much more. So that's tomorrow's show. We're far from done today. Malcolm Moran, night chair at Penn State, but for 25 years of his career, wrote as the prominent writer for the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, and USA Today. He has seen it all, and he's going to give us his perspective on expansion and what is next. Malcolm Moran on the Lenape Solar Hotline when we come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK.